Hallelujah. So the focus of Wednesdays is faith and healing, unless at some point that changes, but that's what we believe God put on our hearts when we started having Wednesday night services about 5 years ago this fall, is to teach on faith and healing. And primarily we teach, if it goes in different directions, then that's okay, but primarily we're going to teach on faith and healing, and we're here to teach. We can stop and we can hook up the next time and just pick up where we left off. But that's the focus of tonight. And we've been in a series called God's Great Mercy for Healing, and this is the fourth one. And just focusing on the fact that the first part, if I encourage you, go back and listen to them if you weren't here. Go back and listen to the messages, because we can't go back and repeat. But the first couple, we were showing, we're gonna talk about this a little bit tonight too, but how healing is a mercy of God. And the Bible says He's the Father of mercies, not just mercy, He's the Father of mercies. And we showed how there are several places where Jesus, it said He had compassion on the sick, and He healed. He had compassion, and He healed. And so He was showing His mercy by healing. And we saw how mercy and compassion are compatible. We'll touch on that, I think, a little bit tonight, too. They're talking about the same thing. Having compassion is showing mercy on somebody. So when you see that Jesus was moved with compassion, that means He was being merciful. And it says in several places that He was being merciful. When it says He was moved with compassion, it says He healed. And so He is still the same merciful God today as He always has been. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if He was merciful then, He's merciful now. And if He healed then He heals now, because His mercy hasn't changed. And if healing is a mercy, then He is still the healer today. Amen. So we went over that some. God's mercy hasn't been modified since Jesus ascended into heaven. It has not been modified. It's still being manifested in Jesus' present day ministry. You realize Jesus has a present day ministry today. Jesus walked the earth as a man. He's 100% man. He's 100% God, but He walked the earth in order to pay the penalty for our sin and to take our place, to win back what Adam lost. And He went about and He ministered to people, but He still has a ministry now. In other words, He didn't come and just minister on earth and then He's up there sitting on a cloud waiting for us to get there. He has a ministry now. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He lives to make intercession for us. But let's turn over to John 16, verse 7. We're going to go over some of the same scriptures we went over last time, but I don't think you were all here anyway, so it'll be okay to go over some of these again. John 16, verse 7. Praise God. John 16, verse 7. Everybody there? It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you." So we see here, it says, Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go away." In the King James, it says, "It's expedient that I go away." The word expedient means profitable. And you can see that in the New King James, it says it's to your advantage. So He's saying it's profitable that I go away. It's to your advantage that I go away. That means Jesus thought it was a good thing that He go to heaven and the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, came to us. I read this last time, but I'll read it again. In his book, Christ the Healer, F.F. Bosworth points out that Jesus going away could not be profitable, and thus Jesus' statement would prove untrue, if his going away would withdraw or even modify the manifestation of his compassion in healing the sick. I'm going to read that again. If, this is F.F. Bosworth, he said, if you don't have that book, Christ the Healer, it's an excellent book. F.F. Bosworth says that Jesus going away, it could not be profitable if his going away would withdraw or even modify the manifestation of his compassion in healing the sick. And therefore, what Jesus said would not be true. In other words, if Jesus said, it's profitable that I go away, but he didn't heal anymore, well, that's going backwards, especially if you need healing. So if you're sick in your body, you're like, thank God, Jesus, you came so I can be right with the Father and I can go to heaven. But, you know, I really could use that healing, but I guess that's done away with. You know, too bad that's not part of the new covenant, but that's not true. The Bible says it's a better covenant. It's a better covenant. We have a better covenant than the old covenant. And so Jesus has not changed in his mercy. And he has not, the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So this idea, which comes from religion, which is man's understanding, it's religion is man-made. Religion is men's teachings. But Bible truth is different than religion. You know, people use religion loosely and can mean just, you know, a group of people that believe a certain doctrine, but really our goal ought to be to just believe the Bible. You know, not what any group of men or women believe, but what does the Bible say? And we ought to let the Bible be the final authority. Some churches teach that it's the Bible plus it's the tradition of men. In other words, what is truth can be modified by men, and that's not true. So in other words, if the church or people are doing it a certain way, even if you can't find it in the Bible, that's right. That's what they believe. But that's not that you can't find that in the Bible. The Bible says not to add to the words of this book. So we got to let the Bible be the final authority, not somebody's experience. Did you hear me?
Yes.
It's not what people experience. Well, I prayed and nothing happened, so I just don't believe God. Well, that has nothing to do with anything. Just because somebody failed to receive doesn't mean God is different. But this is how these doctrines get started. Is because somebody didn't see what they thought they ought to see, and the way things didn't come down the way they thought they should come down. And so God must have changed, or it must not have been God's will. Because if it was God's will, why didn't it just happen? See, we're not going to go into this tonight, I don't think, but we have to have an understanding that not everything that goes on in the world is God's will. See, if you think everything is God, then, well, yeah. I mean, if somebody didn't get healed, well, it's the will of God. So, but that's not true. People die and go to hell every day, and the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. So if he'll let them go to hell, how much more? I mean, that there's nothing more important than that. You're going to forget about your body, what it was like on this earth, very quickly in eternity. Right. After about 1,000 years, you don't really care what your body was like, whether it was healed or not healed. If you're tormented in hell, that's way worse. Being separated from God for eternity, and if God will let people be separated from him and that's happening, how much more any number of other things, you know, on this earth that are happening that aren't his will. You know, we had things happen in the nation today, you know, a shooting in the Capitol. Well, that's not God's will. God did not take control of that person and make them do that. Well, that happened. Does that mean that's his will? No. You know, are we going to attribute that to him? Well, no. So then, how much more? Somebody doesn't get something, why is that all of a sudden his will? The answer is it's not. But just because something doesn't happen doesn't mean that whether something happens or not, whatever happens, it's the will of God. That's not true. So that's where things like healing isn't for today comes from. We have to look at the Word honestly. You don't look at the Word or look at what some group of people say who say, well, our church believes in healing, so therefore it's true. That's a shaky foundation. Doesn't matter if I say it, doesn't matter who says it, what group says it, how much you respect them. We have to come back to this book with whatever we believe. We have to believe this. And so we have to study the book and see, what does God's Word say? So Jesus said that if I depart, it's good for you. It's an advantage for you. So F.F. Bosworth went on to say, every man who teaches that healing is not for all who need it today, as it was in the past, is virtually teaching that Christ's compassion toward the sick has been at least modified since his exaltation. Worse yet, others teach that Jesus' compassion in healing the sick has been entirely withdrawn. To me, it is a mystery how any minister can take a position that veils and interferes with the manifestation of the greatest attribute of deity, God's compassion, which is divine love in action. Now, let me just ask you this one question. And so, and it ought to clear things up. If we believe God is a God of love, how many of you would say, I believe God is a God of love? In fact, the Bible said God is love. Okay? If you think of somebody on the earth that you love, whether it's your mother, your father, your spouse, your child, that you love dearly, okay? Think of somebody specific. Get somebody specific in your mind right now that you love dearly. Not that you just put up with, although, you know, we put up with each other. We can put up with people, but we still love them, right? I'm just kidding. So we love, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding about putting up. We do put up, but, you know, we, that we love. Now, you think of that person and think of them suffering. Think of them with some sickness or disease where they're in pain, where they're uncomfortable, and you look at them and they're suffering. Would you want to help them? Yes. And if you had the power, would you help them? So how would it ever be if God Almighty, well, let me say this, if you had compassion toward that person, if you saw your loved one, wouldn't you want your compassion? You would want to do whatever you could to alleviate that suffering, wouldn't you? Yes. Then how would God, who's a God of mercy, a God of love, say, I no longer heal? You're suffering, but that's out of the picture for today. I don't do that anymore. You have to put up with it. In fact, it's my will that you be sick. Let me ask you a question. Is there any circumstance you could imagine your loved one suffering that you think like that, that you think it would actually be good for them? When in life would it be a good thing that you're looking at them, they are in tremendous pain, they can't see straight, they're lying down, they can't do anything, and there is a circumstance you can think of where you would look at your loved one and say, this is the best thing for you. No. Is there ever, ever a situation? No. Then how would we ever attribute that to God? But see, it doesn't make any sense. Nobody in their right mind. Nobody here can think of any condition where that would be a good thing for the person that you dearly love. In fact, if you were to say, I dearly love this person, but I want him to stay like that, people would, if you said that in public, would they think that's a normal reaction? I love this person dearly, and I like seeing them this way. Or I think this is the best thing for them. If you said that out in public, people, you'd probably get some looks or other, right? Exactly. That would not be a sane reaction. But in church, people do that all the time. I believe it makes them recoil, because any human being, you have to be taught to accept that. Right. You have to somehow be convinced that that's the truth, because your natural mind doesn't believe it. Right. And in fact, your natural reaction would be to recoil. Be like, first of all, wait, God wants my baby to be like that? Wait a minute. What would that do to you? If somebody wanted your baby sick, what would that do to you? You'd be like, huh? Don't get between me and my kid. I'm gonna do whatever I have to. And now if you're being told it's God's will for that, that'd blow your mind. I mean, as a parent, you'd be like, I don't know if I want to have anything to do with that God. That's your reaction. But after a while, people will be like, I can't do anything. And if that's the will of God, I submit. The heart is right. They're saying, God, you, and they'll say stuff like, you know, your ways are higher than my ways. That's not what that's talking about. But they'll think, well, God, if that's the way you want it, I love you and I believe in you, so I'll submit. The heart's right, but it's misunderstanding, because God never wanted that. Right. See, that's not the way God is, so you have to be taught to accept it. Because God's not, that's just not God. If people said the things that are said about God, about a human being, you would not get a good picture about the human being. If you were to go around saying, well, you know, it's Johnny's will that all these babies are sick, you'd be like, who's Johnny and what's his problem? Huh? I mean, you'd be like, what? You want a kid to be sick? But people will say, you know, God took a child. Well, to believe that, you have to believe that Jesus changed. You have to believe that Jesus changed. Jesus has not changed. So, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 17, before we read it. Why would Jesus be any less compassionate in his present day ministry as our faithful high priest than he was in his earthly ministry? Just ask yourself a question. Why would he be? Why when he was on the earth, he was merciful, but somehow when he was exalted as the Son of God, all of a sudden, you know, he just folds his hands, said, well, deal with it. I was there. Then it would have been better to be around when he was here. But it's not true. Jesus is the same now as when he was on the earth. He never changes. He's the same now as he was back then. If he's gracious now, or gracious back then he's gracious now. Whatever attribute Jesus had then, he has now, because he does not change. If he's full of compassion then, or if he was, then he's full of compassion now. Aren't you glad? If he was merciful then, he's merciful now. Now, Hebrews 2:17 says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. The same Greek word translated merciful in this verse is also translated compassion. Compassionate in other passages. So we already said this several weeks ago, how the words merciful and compassionate can be used interchangeably. So the Greek adjective translated merciful in Hebrews 4:17 could also be translated compassionate. Both of the words accurately describe Jesus, our high priest. So you could say, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a compassionate and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God. Hebrews 4:15, just skip down there, just two chapters ahead. Two chapters ahead, Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The King James says that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So the same Greek word translated touched in verse 15 is translated have compassion in Hebrews 10:34. We can just hold your finger in Hebrews 4. Just look at verse 34, chapter 10, verse 34. You can just see what it's bringing out here. So the same word that's translated, he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, or he can't sympathize with our weaknesses. In Hebrews 10:34, it says, for you had compassion on me in my chains. Talking about, this is the writer of Hebrews, which in all likelihood was the Apostle Paul, but we don't know for sure. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. The beginning of that, verse 34, for you had compassion on me in my chains. That's the same word that's translated here in chapter 4, verse 15, that says he cannot sympathize, or in the King James, touched, that he was touched with our infirmities. That means that he was feeling compassion. So he was touched with, or he had compassion for, the feeling of our infirmities. That means he could relate to what we go through as humans. Why? Because he walked the earth as one. He knows what it's like to have this body. He knows what he was tempted like we are tempted. He felt what it's like to have a mortal body. Now, he's immortal, but he walked on the earth as a mortal. He walked on the earth as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He didn't walk the earth as the all-powerful Son of God. The Bible says he emptied himself of his power. So he had to. He had to walk like you and I have to walk. Otherwise, he couldn't be. If he did it as the Son of God, well, that's cheating. Now, he is the Son of God. He walked. He was 100% man, 100% God. We say, how is that? Well, the Bible says, the man, Christ Jesus, the Bible says he is God Almighty, but he walked on this earth feeling what you and I feel. And let me ask you a question. Do you like it when your body hurts? I don't. Nobody likes pain. I mean, pain from something bad. People say, oh, you know, they're working out or something. Well, you're not, and it's, you're pushing. Well, that's one thing, you know, if you're doing, you're not supposed to push to where it actually hurts. But there's a difference between that and, you know, something is hurting in your body that you don't want to hurt. That's just annoying or worse. Huh? Yes. Nobody wants to, well, yeah, I get up today and I just want to be in pain. Chronic pain is horrible. If you've ever experienced pain that's just there and just sitting, it's horrible. Nobody would wish that on somebody that they love. And the Bible says Jesus, he knows what it's like to walk in a body. So, you know, the Bible didn't say that he was sick. You know, he took our infirmities at But he didn't say he walked in sickness. I'm not saying he walked around sickness, but he knows what it's like to be in a body. His body got tired. You know, he had to rest. He walked in the power of the Spirit. He walked in as a man anointed by the Spirit, and he was anointed without measure. So he did walk in some things, tapped into some things that we can tap into as men and women if we'll flow with the Spirit. But he still was limited. He still wasn't walking around as the omnipotent, all-powerful God that was there at the creation of the heavens and the earth. But the Bible says he was touched or had compassion, and he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So he is just as compassionate now as he was then. He's no less compassionate. If Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday, if he's the same as our exalted high priest at the right hand of the Father as he was when he walked the shores of Galilee, he is just as full of compassion now as he was then. He has not changed. That means he's full of mercy just as much today as when the two blind men that we talked about several weeks ago were following him and said, "Lord, have mercy on us." And his response was to heal them. They were crying out, "Have mercy." And he said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And they said, "That we might receive our sight." And he healed them. They received their sight. The Bible says Jesus had compassion on them. And what was the result? They were healed. So he's the same now as he was then. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that. So this is the thing that we want to get over, is that God wants us to be well now. See, if we can remove the idea that somehow God has changed, or that we're living in an area where somehow, well, you know, all these signs and wonders were done on the earth, but they were just done to prove Jesus' divinity, and then now we live in a different, live in a different age. So, you know, people believe that the miracles passed away with the apostles, and that God does not heal today. But that would mean God changed. But he hasn't changed. So his power to heal is available today. Now, we said this last week. We're just wrapping up, and we'll wrap up on this thought. But God wants us to be well. Let me preface by saying this. If you're sick in your body, like let's say, think of the worst thing you've experienced in your body, health-wise. Maybe it was a period of time, you know, the worst pain, the worst injury, the worst condition that you've experienced. Maybe it was something that lasted for a while. What, when you're going through something in your body, what is it that you want, that you yearn for? You want it to change. You want it to be, if it's pain, you want it to stop. If it's some condition that's going on, you want it to be normal. Have you ever been there where, I mean, it can just be a headache. You're just like, all I want is some relief. Huh? You know, you may, at that point, you could have other things going on. And I mean, when you have multiple things going on, it can pile up on you. But you could have something going on with, you ever been there? You could have something where there was something going on at work or finances, and then you're dealing with this physical thing. And it can be like, oh, that other thing that I dealt with at work or this financial thing, it's nothing. If I could get this physical thing out of the way, and you could think of a time when you weren't having this condition and you were saying, you know, and I may have been complaining. You may have been complaining about this financial thing or work. And at this point, when you're going through this physical thing, you could be thinking, Man, if I could just go to work and experience that problem and have this thing out of the way, man, it would be a sunny, glorious day. Has anybody ever thought like that? You're like, that was nothing. Why was I even complaining? Man, I go and gladly deal with those people because if this thing were gone and I could walk freely and I could do this with my arm or whatever, or this part of my body wasn't hurt, you know, hurting, and I could just walk and be in that meeting and that was a pain, but man, I'm here and I'm not in pain. It's awesome. Oh, you don't like me? Hey, you know, it's a good day because I don't have that pain. I don't have that condition. Huh? It all just gets in line. You know, you start to think, that was nothing. Just being able, you think, I don't like my job or I don't like this person. Man, it's a blessing to be able to get up and go to work and have no pain. Amen. That's a blessing. I don't have something else going on. So when you're in that condition, what do you want? You want it to be gone. You want it to be normal. Normal, just being at level. Forget about all these things that you thought, oh, if I could only have that and that. You're like, man, if I could just be back to just center, that would be awesome. You know, forget about this, buying this or this. Man, if I could just have it to where I didn't feel that. So what do you want? You want that condition to change. So here's the thought that I want to get over to you. God wants that more than you do. As much as you are like, this is my body, if only I could just get there. God is a merciful and compassionate God. As much as like you, we were talking about you wanting your loved one to be well, as much as you want them to be well in something, God wants that for us. He is not. See, sometimes it's like he's off somewhere and it's like, I'm going through this and I'm probably doing something. You know, I'm probably not. You could have thoughts that I'm just not doing enough, or why is this happening? And I don't know, where's God? And it's almost like this divide. And if you've had any teaching that somehow it could be God's will, or somehow you're being punished, or you're just not doing enough, then it's kind of like, you know, God's there and you could kind of hear about his mercy, but it's kind of blurry to you because you're experiencing this and you could be thinking, well, there's some reason why. And it's like, yeah, you know God's there, but it's like there's this gap between you and him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We need to get rid of that gap and realize, as much as I want this, as much as I want the pain gone, as much as I want to be normal, God wants it more. He loves us, and he's right there with us. And he's a merciful God. So he isn't there going, well, I figured it out. He's there going, daughter, son, as much as you're thinking, I just want that. Because some people, this will come up. God, why can't I get healed? Why won't you heal me, God? And it's like, see, that's a mentality that somehow God is withholding. That somehow he's the problem. Like, God, don't you see I'm going through this? And anger could be there. Because if you think everything on this earth is God, or somehow he has to do with everything, then you can be thinking, I've tried, I've done, why haven't? And you can be thinking somehow he's not doing something. But when we change it and realize he wants this thing more than I do, that would change our thinking to wait, okay, now what am I missing? What's different? Because I know it's not him anymore. That changes it to I'm trying to get something from him that, see, come here, Andrew. Just trying to illustrate this before we go here. See, if I feel like I'm trying to get Andrew, like let's say I'm trying to go this way, and I'm trying to get Andrew to come with me, and why won't you come with me, Andrew? I'm trying to get you to come with me, and you just won't come with me. If I'm trying to get him, if I feel like I have to grab him, and I don't know why we can't go because you just won't come, that's a different thing than Andrew is. He is ready to go. He is trying to go this way, and he wants to help me. He wants to go this way. And now it's like, okay, if he wants to go with me, then if I'm not experiencing, go ahead, Andrew, sit down. If I'm not experiencing the right thing, see, that's like God. Sometimes we get the idea that I'm trying to convince God that I need to be healed. Oh, God, would you just heal me? God, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you helped? It'd be like you and your loved one, the person is suffering and going, why aren't you helping me? And you'd be thinking, I want to do everything I can to help you. Well, see, that's the way it is with God. God wants to help us and wants us to experience health and wholeness more than we do. See, that puts it in a different perspective. If he wants it more than me, and I'm not seeing it, then I start asking different questions. Because it's not about him, me trying to get him to do something. He already wants it more than me. So then I change to be like, okay, I don't have to work on you anymore. What do I need to tweak? What do I need to change? Lord, you are there. You have already helped. He's already sent Jesus to do everything. He's already paid for it. The problem is, it's there, it's ready, it's just not flowing into my body. Something's not changed. So, and a lot of times, you know what it is? It's my messed up thinking because I think I'm trying to get him to do something. I think I have to do something to get it to go instead of, Lord, you want me well. And then all of a sudden, it can be that easy that something changes to where, oh, you mean you just want me well. You want me to be healed. So then we change our thinking. And it can let healing flow. Let healing flow in our body. Amen. He yearns for us to be well. He yearns to heal us. And I say that like this. See, just because you have something provided, the Holy Spirit's the one that actions it and makes it so. Just like being born again. God wants that. He has provided the gift for us, and he wants it to get over. He's like this going, I want this child. I want you to be healthy and whole more than you want it. If you're a parent, you would understand this. There are some things you want your child to experience more than they do. And the kid will go, well, I don't understand that. Well, we don't understand it a lot with God either. We don't understand that he wants us to be well and healthy and whole. He wants to see what he paid for with Jesus manifest in our body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just meditate that on that. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we're so thankful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Oops. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. God yearns to heal us. I say it like that for a reason. He yearns to heal us. God wants to heal us more than we want to be healed. And for the person that's suffering, that can make all the difference. God wants to heal us more than we want to be healed. Hallelujah. His power, He wants His power to flow. He wants His power to be manifest. He wants our bodies to be changed. He wants to be able to touch us with the Spirit and the power of God more than we want it. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. If you're dealing with something in your body, if you're dealing with something in your body this evening, and you have that sense, you've dealt with it, you want to see it go. It is your heart's desire that you be healthy and whole. God wants you healthy and whole more than you do. God wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. He wants you to be well. He wants you, he is reaching out His hand. And He wants to touch your body. That power is resident. That power is available. He wants that to flow. He wants you to be well more than you do. He is so gracious. He's so good. In fact, God yearns for it. God yearns to heal you. He yearns for it, for that to be manifest. Glory to God. Just that change in our mentality can make all the difference. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say this to yourself if you can. Say, God wants to heal me more than I want to be healed. Now think of this. Think of the situation. We're not talking about what Jesus did, the finished work. See, that's what provided it. But we're talking about the action, the power of the Holy Spirit transferring. He wants that. He wants it to change. He wants, when we say, we're not talking about His will. We understand that Jesus died on the cross. He paid for our sickness and disease. The Bible says, by His stripes we were healed. See, that's the payment. That payment has been made, but we're talking about the action. We're talking about the Holy Spirit coming on and being able to make that manifest. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about His will, that somehow He wants to get into the notion of healing you. What we're talking about is right now, you think about if you have a situation in your body. You have a situation in your body that's been chronic. You have a situation in your body that you've had. God wants to touch that. That's what we're saying. God wants to heal that. God wants to make it whole. That's what the word heal means. He wants it to be whole. But there's an action. The Holy Spirit is yearning. The Holy Spirit is hovering over this place right now. The Holy Spirit is yearning, like chomping at the bit, saying, let me do it. Let me do it. I've paid for it. It's yours. Now let me make it manifest. And if you've had something that you've dealt with, that you've felt pain, that you felt discomfort, you have to know that God was with you every step of the way. He knows the feeling of your infirmities, and He is saying right now, I want to heal you more than you want it. And if we will let Him, then it changes it to where you just let Him do it. You let Him manifest His power. You let that power flow. Just imagine there's a cloud over this place right now, charged with the power, the healing power of God. He wants that to flow into your body right now, more than you want it. And if you're sitting there going, oh yes, I wish that were true, I wish it were true, I wish that, we have to change that thinking, and you just say it. Say, you have to get into your mind that no, He wants that more than you do. So there is no, oh, I wish. There is, okay, Lord, You can do it. So say it again to yourself. Say, God wants me, or God wants to heal me more than I want to be healed. God wants to heal me more than I want to be healed. God wants to heal me more than I want my healing. God wants me to be well more than I want to be well. God wants me to run more than I want to run. God wants me to be pain-free more than I want to be pain-free. God wants me to be able to sleep at night more than I want to be able to sleep at night. God wants me to be able to work more than I want to be able to work. He yearns for me to be well. He yearns to heal me, to make manifest His healing power in my body. Hallelujah.